Christine Harbin Hansen is from Americans for Prosperity, the national issues manager, on the phone with us this morning. Christine, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
Glad to be here. I'm just going to enjoy a cigarette and a big gulp and get rolling here, get a little tweaky.
Breakfast champions.
Well, you know, and I was, okay, so here's the question then. Cigarettes, another sin tax, if you will, have been in place for years and years. The suggestion has been put out there to put a sin tax, if you will, on heavily sweetened, heavily sugared beverages. You say that's a bad idea. Tell me why.
Well, it's a complicated issue, and really one of the main arguments against sweet taxes and also bans on cigarettes is this was just an attempt by government to protect us from ourselves. This is an alarming level of paternalism from big government out here. It says that, you know, regular Americans don't know enough or don't have enough discipline to be able to, to not have cigarettes for breakfast.
All right, well, now, hold on. Let's apply some Socratic logic to that, then. I want to have some heroin for breakfast. I want to smoke some meth for breakfast. What difference does it make? Seriously. I mean, based on your logic, and I generally agree with you guys, don't get me wrong, but based on that logic, I just want to smoke some crack for breakfast, and what business is it of yours? I don't need paternalism. I need a little rock to get me rolling.
Well, that is, as long as you're not hurting anyone else, it's fine. The problem is,
you're saying methamphetamines are okay for breakfast, and you don't care, you're good with that.
Well, I drink coffee, personally, but who am I to judge?
Right. But
many people here in Washington are judging, and one alarming item that we've seen recently, come out of the Senate is this excise tax on soda taxes, even though we've seen that they have failed to bring down obesity in other states. As you mentioned, we saw that earlier in New York. So the good news is that this bill probably is not going to go anywhere. It's probably not going to see the Senate floor. But it's still part of the kind of narrative that we see coming out of the regulatory sphere.
And don't get me wrong, I think that the regulation nation is out of control on a variety of fronts, be it the EPA or the IRS or wherever it comes from. However, if the federal government wants to tax cigarettes, which I find fully appropriate because of the amount of devastation it does to this country, 500,000 people a year die from it, not to mention the staggering amount of money involved to keep people, try to cure them from this disease is created by tobacco. The same is true for obesity. And maybe it hasn't reduced obesity levels, but where do you start then? Because obesity levels in this country, morbid obesity, something like 50% of us or something are overweight. And millions of us are morbidly obese, if you will, by definition, causing heart disease and hypertension, contributing to diabetes and destroying our healthcare system along the way. I mean, something should be done, don't you believe?
Yeah, Steve, I think that's a really good point, and it's one that's not brought up often enough in this kind of conversation. People often oppose these as for paternalistic reasons, but also we have to look at what the effect they have on long-term spending are, and I think cigarettes is a great example of that. And if we're truly focused on limiting government and these policies did lead to lower spending, then maybe advocates for limited government should support that.
One challenge
that I have to it is that the effectiveness, it relies on the effectiveness of these programs.
Well, that I'm not sure about, but I do know this, and it's important that you bring these numbers up because the numbers are important. And according to what I can find, in this country, we spend about $350 billion a year to treat those that have smoked. $350 billion a year to take care of those in a medical environment that have smoked cigarettes and damaged their own health. Now, think about that. That's $1 trillion every 3 years. $1 trillion every 3 years for those that smoke. Now, I know I'm a little off topic on the sugar, but the sugar would be about $1 trillion every 5 to 6 years based on the numbers I'm looking at, right? That's serious money. That's serious money. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's serious money, and the problem with these pieces of legislation that we're seeing with, like, the soda taxes, it's very short-term focused. Because not only do you have the health implications and the question of whether these actually do reduce you know, people's waistlines, whether they do things like that. You have many local officials right now who are looking for a lot of money. Their local, same local governments are cash strapped, and so they look at the tax legislation as one way to increase their bottom line.
All right, fair enough, Christy. And I don't think that, you know, just the tax hungry politicians should always be looked at with suspicion, frankly. Christy, I appreciate your time. We'll argue about this again in the future. I'll have you back. No worry.
I look forward to it. Have a good day, Steve.
You too, Christine. Christine Harbin Hansen, Americans for Prosperity National Issues Manager, discussing the possibility of taxing or not taxing sugary drinks. I don't necessarily agree with taxing sugary drinks. However, when it gets to cigarettes, I'm not done with that yet.